Okay, we're going acoustic today, but we still want to try to record this so that we can get it for those people who couldn't be here today. And I promise we're going to keep it short because this is not the intention today to come and spend time doing listening to me, but rather to fellowship together, to have a time of joy and just enjoying ourselves. And there's a lot of food that we got down there, so we're going to need your help to get rid of that. So I just felt, for a short message today, I just felt to remind us that we should be keeping our eyes on Jesus. That's what I think the message that God wanted me to share with you today. So let me ask with a question first. I'll start with a question. How many of you feel that you are sometimes easily distracted by things? Oh, a lot of people. A lot of people. Well, it's not uncommon in today's society. There are many influences that demand our attention, and many priorities or seeming priorities, that's important, that make us act, as Rick just mentioned, like a dog spotting a squirrel, right? It's exactly the way we feel sometimes. Well, this same tendency towards distraction seems prevalent even in the church today. We seem to have lost our focus on what's really important and what are the things that we need to be concerned about. In some ways, you can say that our spiritual eyes are blinded. Let me give you some statistics. Butch loves to have these as well, but these are from some recent polls that were made by the Pew Research and by the Gallup organization. In 1991, more than 90% of Americans polled called themselves Christian. That was their self-labeling. More than 90% of Americans called themselves. That was 1991. 2011, 20 years later, that number had shrunk to about 75%. And then last year, 2021, it shrunk down even further to 63%. And what's even more telling about that is that the Gallup poll from last year showed that only 47%, less than half, of Americans consider themselves as members of a church of any type. So now notice that there's a distinction between considering yourself a Christian and being a member of a church. The church, you know, not everybody who's a Christian is affiliated with a church, unfortunately, but that's, you see where these numbers are heading. They're tanking. Numbers are going down across the country. The disparity is even worse when you start looking at older generations like myself and our kids and the younger generation even behind them. That distinction is spreading and getting even worse. Our children are being pummeled, and in some ways, you might even say they're being brainwashed by the schools, by the media, and even by their own peers. Polls show that millennials are less likely to hold to a solid religious belief than their parents do today. Parents have not been as faithful as they should be to fulfill the biblical mandate to train up a child in the way that they should go, so that when he is old, he will not depart from it. That comes from Proverbs 22:6. And it should be a guideline for all parents. It should be a rule for all parents. It should be a task for all parents to do. Now, some churches today and denominational churches attempt to attract some of these fallen away people by compromising on the church's historic, biblically based beliefs. They've lost their focus on things that really matter, the things that really last and make a difference. But there's hope. And that's what I wanted to share for a few minutes today. If you do like my wife does when she reads a book and glance at the end of the book to see how it ends, because she doesn't like to read things that end badly. Is that true? Yeah. If you do that with the Bible, you know that God wins in the end. So you know how the story goes on this one. So that even backsliding believers and unbelievers are addressed in Scripture leading up to that end game. We're not there yet, but we're heading towards it pretty quickly. In Romans 3:3-4, we read, Paul writes, "For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. God can be true. Every man, their man's foibles, man's customs, man changing morals, they have flaws. That's our nature. That's our very nature. But God is constant. God is faithful. My point here is that Jesus never gives up on us. His love is boundless and without regret or expectation of anything. That's what agape love is all about. Jesus gives without any expectation of getting. He just gives because he loves us. And our job is to love other people and to love God that same way. This is where we should keep our focus, on the purity of God's love and the message of the gospel. Jesus died for us so that we could be truly forgiven of our sinful nature, as we talked about when we took communion there. We truly are forgiven. Those sins are washed away by the blood of Jesus. It's not that they're still there, but just suppressed. They aren't even on the record books anymore in God's eyes. That's the difference. That's what's different about it. We are transformed. We are to be transformed into the righteous image of Christ. We are grafted into that true vine. We are sons and daughters of the Most High God. We shouldn't be distracted by social fads or cultural shifts or the changing morals or the relativism that we see in our society today. There are absolute truths, and we find them in the Bible. 2 Timothy 3, starting in verse 12, is a really, really good verse about this. It really covers a lot of these things. And it says, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Now that verse, that passage is just full of answers to what we were talking about today. It describes our present state as suffering persecution. And we are suffering persecution. Believe it or not, this country persecutes Christians. That's what's going on right now. We're seeing it all the time. It speaks of the deception that we see in the world today. There are deceivers out there, and there are people that are being deceived by the enemy right now. Lies are being promulgated as truth. They've turned everything upside down and inside out, and it's hard to tell what is what right now. This passage speaks of the need to instill the truth in our children starting at a very young age. That is the job of the parents. It's not the job of the schools, because they're certainly not doing it. It's not the job of their peers. Parents have that responsibility according to God's plan for the family. And this passage also points to the Bible as the source of that truth, of wisdom and of the faith that saves us from these lies and these deceptions. And so I come full circle back to the title of this short message today. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Just like that old hymn. Some of you may know that if you come out of a background. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. If you focus on him instead of on the squirrels, instead of on these other deceptions that you see, you can't go wrong. You keep your eyes on him, and there's even more to it than that, because he's more than just a man. To instill the truth in our children, to instill the truth in our family, you need to know what that is. Despite what our cultural influencers and on-site, on the website people and all these social media kind of things might assert, the truth is not relative. There is not your truth or my truth. There is the truth. The truth is found in John 14:6, where Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus identifies clearly who is, not what is, but who is the truth. That's the key to this whole mess that we're in today. If you seek the truth, you need to seek Jesus. If you want to speak the truth, speak Jesus. And if you want to teach the truth to your children, teach them Jesus. How simple can it be? Is it easy? Not necessarily. Not in our society today. But it's simple. You can't forget that. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we teach the way, the truth, and the life to our children, to our fellow man. When we come across those people who are confused and have those issues and are confused about things and are confused about right and wrong, point them to Jesus. That's the nutshell. That's the whole message for today. So my prayer for all of you today is that you can come to fulfill what is written in the book of Ephesians, starting in chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There it is, body ministry. If we all have that saving belief in the truth in Jesus Christ, and we work together, whatever your giftings might be, whatever Holy Spirit gifts you have, whatever fruit of the Spirit you display in your life, if you apply that to the building up of the body will grow, the body will mature, the body will flourish. And we all then benefit from that because we all now can grow into that image of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Let us not be subject to the winds of doctrines of men, but hold fast to the truth that is embodied in the written word of God in the Bible. Keep your eyes upon Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord God, for the example that you give us each day, the example that you give us in the word of God, Lord God, in the scriptures itself. Lord, you are the way. You are the truth, and you are the very life, Lord God, that we seek after. You give us that gift of eternal life, Lord God, by going to the cross, dying on our behalf, shedding your very blood, but then rising again, Lord God, on the third day. You conquered the tomb, you conquered the death, you conquered the enemy, Lord God, and now we get grafted into that lifeblood of the Holy Spirit. And we just thank you, Lord, for that great gift. And I just pray that each one here, Lord God, that this message will take root and that they, if they come to a time, each individual here, Lord God, if they come to a time of confusion or uncertainty, Lord God, that they would turn to you and know the truth and can experience life everlasting with you. And I just lift this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.